The word of the Lord from Matthew chapter 13. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't think anybody here is going to disagree that Jesus is a treasure. A treasure is something of great worth, and as to his person, Jesus is the Son of God. He's almighty, so he can do whatever he wills. He's all-knowing, and as the saying goes, knowledge is power. He's eternal, so he doesn't weaken or fade away. We could say more, but let's tally it up. Divinity, power, knowledge, and eternalness, they are all of great worth. And on top of that, Jesus makes use of this worth for your good. He is, by nature, love, and his actions reflect his nature. So he works and serves to deliver you from death and to give you eternal life. So Jesus has great worth, and he uses it to save you. I don't think anybody here will argue that Jesus is not a treasure. I also don't think that anybody here will argue that Jesus is such a treasure that he is worth giving up everything else. If you have the Son of God who delivers you from death and gives you everlasting life, how will anything else compare? This should define how you look at his commandments, by the way. Because in your sinfulness, you resent his law because you want to break it. And so you see his commands as Jesus being a strict parent who wants to save you, but who won't let you have any fun. But that's all wrong. Jesus has already died and risen again to give you everlasting life. He's already given that life to you in your baptism, and he gives his law to you now so that you don't throw all his gifts away. Think of it this way, since we have the pearl of great price in our reading for today. If you've ever purchased pearl jewelry, pearls come with a warning. You should never submerge pearls in water, which has always struck me as funny because pearls develop underwater in oysters. The reason for the warning, however, is that so much water is chlorinated or acidic, and either is corrosive to the surface of the pearl. And an ugly pearl has lost its worth and its beauty. So, if someone gives you an expensive piece of pearl jewelry and says, "Don't wear this in the swimming pool," you're not going to say, "You can't tell me what to do." You're going to say, "Thanks for the reminder of how to take care of this treasure." When Jesus speaks his law, he's warning you to avoid the things that would ruin his priceless gift of salvation. And yet, his law irritates you no end. He warns you of whole spectrums of sin in his Ten Commandments. I mean, with "thou shalt not kill," he tells you that everything from murder down to angry thoughts are at work to doom you. With "thou shalt not commit adultery," he warns you that everything from wrecking families down to lustful thoughts will damn you. He doesn't say these things because he's a spoil sport, but because he wants you to preserve the treasure of your relationship with him, because that means salvation, that means eternal life. I mean, do you really want to make the argument that salvation is pretty cool, but that gossip or looking at porn is worth more? We're talking about eternal life. We're talking about deliverance from death and freedom from sin. So when Jesus says, say in Matthew 16, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me," your response should be, "Well, yeah, that only makes sense." All of this is to say that it's pretty obvious that Jesus is such a treasure that, in the language of our text, he is worth selling everything, giving up everything you hold dear to have him. Now, all of that is true, and now I have some really good news. That's not what this parable is about. That is not what these parables are about. They often get preached that way. I've heard too many sermons that say, Jesus is the treasure. If you seek him and give up everything you have for him, then you will have him as your savior. Or, Jesus is the pearl of great price. If you are willing to give up all to make him your own, then he will be your savior and you are saved. I gotta say that sermons like that don't sound much like saved by grace through faith alone apart from works at all. So what are these parables about? Well, in parables, the one who does the good thing, usually the main actor, is the Lord. And normally, a field symbolizes the world. In the parable of the hidden treasure, the man buys the entire field to have the buried treasure. And that sounds an awful lot like John 3, verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. In order to buy the field for the treasure, the man sells all that he has with joy. Which sounds an awful lot like the description of Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith in Hebrews 12, verse 2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And of course, in the parable, the man purchases the world for the sake of the treasure within it. Which quickly sends me to John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now, if Jesus is the man who finds the treasure and joyfully gives all that he has to buy the field, then what is the treasure? You. You are the treasure. Stinky, wandering, stubborn, sinful you. He created this world to be perfect, and your first parents ruined the whole universe. And your sins only further the corruption of creation, the decay of others, and your own decline. And on your own, claiming that you look good because of your good works, well, that's like looking at a piece of moldy bread and saying, it's still good because that fuzzy blue spot isn't as blue or fuzzy as the rest. What I'm trying to say is this. If you take the confession of sin that you made at the start of this service seriously, then there is nothing about you that makes you a treasure. You're not holy or righteous, and you face death for your sins. That does not make you worth a whole lot. In fact, that makes you worth less. To clean up what the Bible says about sinful you, you weren't treasure, but trash. And yet, in the parable, you are the treasure. And you are the treasure because the Son of God became man. Becoming man and coming into this world, this field, he joyfully gave all that he had. Philippians 2 says that he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. At the cross, he became the trash so that you might be the treasure. He took on all the stink, all the shame and guilt of your sin, and he died with it. Risen again, he has cleansed you with his own blood. He gives you his righteousness and life, and he maintains that righteousness and life by his word and by his supper. You might be familiar with an old poem that says that sinners are like an old, out-of-tune violin that appears to have no value, but then Jesus comes along and tunes it up. And when he plays, he shows the violin's inherent worth. But it's really not like that at all. You don't start out as a Stradivarius with inherent worth that needs the touch of the master's hand. You start out more like the plastic wrapper from a convenience store burrito that got stuck to a farmer's boot before he walked through the cow pasture without minding his step. But then you're plunged into the waters of holy baptism. You're joined to Christ, and you're raised up like a gold chalice. The transformation is that jaw-dropping and more. By his death and resurrection, Jesus gives you worth. He redeems you, cleanses you, to make you the treasure. So in this parable of the treasure hidden in the field, you are the treasure. We have a couple other parables to address briefly in this short reading. As you are the treasure in the field, you are also the pearl of great price. And the Lord has sold all that he had to make you his, and now he's risen again. You don't look like the treasure or the pearl yet. Just like the weeds and the wheat were mixed together last week, right now you're like fish in the sea in the parable of the dragnet. Because Jesus has redeemed you, you're a prize catch because he's your worth. But for now, in Idaho terms, you're down in the deep pool, a prize trout swimming among the white fish and the dying mangled kokanee. On the last day when all are caught, it'll all be sorted out, and then you will be revealed as a treasure Jesus has made you to be. Until then, remember, in Christ, you are the treasure. You are the pearl. Should that not be a great comfort and joy? You are the treasure because Christ has turned you from dying rubbish to holy treasure by no less than his own suffering and death. Should that not fill you with an endless gratitude and set you free to follow his laws? To serve those around you as you follow the lead of your Savior? You are the treasure. Artist Ed Riojas has painted a picture of this parable, and he focuses on the moment when the price has been paid, the field has been bought, and it's time for the treasure to be revealed. So in the painting, Jesus is pulling the treasure chest out of the ground. It's your casket, as Christ unearths you on the last day when he will raise you up a new and living and perfect creation. That is your joyful hope that will not disappoint. In Christ, by his blood, you are the treasure both now and forevermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.